Blog Talk Radio.
Yo. What's up, everybody? This is Lee from Lee and Key's Real Talk. Man, I got to get my eyes checked. My man Key sent me a text saying he was calling in as a guest, and he wanted me to call in as a host, but I read that I was supposed to call in as a guest, and he was going to call in as a host. But my eyes are bad. My eyes are getting bad. I got to get my eyes checked. This is all on me tonight. My eyes just bad, or I was just misread. But we got a lot to talk about tonight. Me and my man Keys. We got to talk about the pay-per-view that happened this weekend. We got to talk about that, and we got some other fights that were announced or going to be announced that the UFC are putting out. And then I have to ask Keys about – I have to ask him about a fight. I have to ask my man Keys about a fight that I think that me and him would love to see, but I don't know whether or not it's a fight that we're going to see. But this weekend was a hell of a weekend. We want to congratulate the two champs, the two new champions, Jamal Hill, whose Keys has been on his bandwagon, I want to say, for about 2.5 years, and Brandon Moreno, who finally, we can put to bed this Davidson Figueiredo. I don't even know what to call it. Marathon of fights. So we finally can put that to rest. As Davidson Figueiredo said that he would move up to 135. We'll talk about that at a later date because I think me and Keys talked about it last week. But we'll explore him moving up to 135 when they announce his first fight. But I have to welcome in my co-host, and I have to give him big props on Jamal Hill. Hey, man, your boy did it, man, and he did it in a devastating fashion, man. Shout out to you for bringing him to our attention about 2.5 years ago.
I just want to say I've been told y'all. And
you don't have to be so humble.
And you know what's actually funny about it is that I remembered the exact fight that I first caught wind of him. I was actually exactly right about that fight. And I remember last week I was like, I think it was OSP was the first Jamal Hill fight that I had happened to watch, you know, and that was on a fight night card. And it was OSP, so I was, you know, because I'm on his Sherdog right now, and that was December 5th, 2020. He fought OSP on Hermanson versus Vettori, UFC on ESPN 19. He TKO'd OSP in the second round. And so that was, like you said, that was, you know, two years and change. And that was a little while ago, you know, technically, you know, 3 years ago, later this year. But either way, you know, I remember that was the first fight I caught wind of him. And I was like, yo, this dude is it, man. He's going to be good. And then, you know, later, actually on my birthday, that was that his second fight was, you know, that was when Paul Craig, I think, I don't know if he broke his arm or dislocated his elbow. It was something like that. Yeah, it was something like that. And hey, it is what it is. I mean, you know, three KOs since then. You know, all big name opponents, and then just won the title. So it is what it is. I I'm watching the OSP fight. He's, you know, one fight in the contender series. Then he was 1-0 in the UFC, knocked out in the contender series. Then he had a no contest. But he was, I think that's like 1-0, I think, is for the no contest, or 1-0-1. And then when I was watching him, he's 1-0-1, then he's 2-0-1. Then since then, now he's Now, however you want to call it, with the no comp, either way, I mean, he goes 4-1, you know, and his, since the fight I watched him, technically he went 5-1 since I started watching him. So I've been told y'all, and it's just one of those things that you're proud to see, you know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
No, because you know what it is? There's a lot of times where, you know, you get people out here and it's like they're so happy to tell you you're wrong. You know what I mean? So in the same respect, I'm so happy to tell you that I'm right. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
I'm so happy to say that I've been told y'all. And it's okay because there was a lot of other guys that, you know, people thought were going to be, you know, that dude at 205, and, you know, most of them came up short or they fell off. One of them, Johnny Walker, is now starting to get back on. He's pretty much back in the, you know, Johnny Walker's pretty much back in the title picture, honestly. I mean, he's probably like one fight out, you know what I mean? To be real, he's with the performances he's having, he might be like one fight out, you know, especially
he's
in the
number
like
eight.
Because
he's number eight.
Yeah, he's probably one fight out. You know, he'll probably get one more, and then, you know, he's either – because it's a light heavyweight division, you know. It's like the division's not that deep to where it's like he really has that many fights. I mean, he could take two more. You know, he might be two fights out at most, though. You know what I mean? That shouldn't be more than that. I mean, he just – two big performances there. Well, Johnny Parker's, you know, one – he's just two fights out. You might actually have him and Jamal Hill pretty soon. You know, that might actually be – who knows, man? Especially with the way the UFC moves, that could be the next fight. You know, you don't really know. So, but yeah, man. I'm aside from everything, I'm damn proud, bro. So shout out to Jamal Hill, man. I hope he sees my tweet. I should have just tagged him on the tweet. I'm gonna have to put the tweet back up and tag him, bro, because he's actually pretty active on Twitter. And
he's gonna get Johnny Walker because Jamal Hill smoked him when they fought. He knocked him out in the first round. I want to say he knocked Johnny Walker still.
No, he did. But I'm just saying it's not. There's really not. I mean, if you look at the division, there's really just not anybody there. There's really who else is really winning? You know what I mean? It's like who's really putting on. I mean, people are going to say Ankalaev, but it's like he just had a complete – I mean, to me, that was a complete snooze versus Vukovic. And they both had a snooze right there. So I don't even want to see either one of those guys fight for the belt. I think they should just go, you know, do another snooze, you know, rematch or something. I don't know what they want to do. But that's – I'm not even interested in that. And then, you know, Glover retired. I mean, who's really there, you know? Jimmy Crude hasn't been winning. Paul Craig, I mean, obviously just lost. I mean, who's really there? I don't see who else. Jerry's not going to be back till, you know, late summer. He's talking about, you know, July, August. So that's a while away, man. We're in January. It's like, that's a while away. Like, we can't have, you know, the champ wait 6 months to fight a guy. You know what I'm saying? Let's not get him on that type of time. You know what I mean? I bet you he wants to fight again soon. So who else is there to that? Like, who's there to fight?
I think what they probably do is they probably do Alexander Rakic. They'll probably do him. But I don't know. Let me check his record. Because I think he may
have Anthony Smith there, too. Anthony Smith is there, but, I mean, he's another guy that's, like, just coming back around as well.
See, Rakic lost to Vukovic, so I don't know how they're going to do this, man, because they might have to do like a title eliminator, you know.
What I would probably say is do the fight that I'm pretty sure I either tweeted it in the past couple of days, like since the event, or I said it on our last show that I would want to see. I say you do Anthony Smith and Johnny Walker, man. I think you do that fight. And then those are the only two guys that have been, you know, that have a couple wins in their last few fights at light heavyweight. I mean, Anthony Smith lost to Ankalaev, and I want to say I don't think he's fought since then. I mean, he almost did, and then he didn't. And then, obviously, Walker is on a two-fight win streak. So I say you do those two guys, and then that's your title eliminator. Winner of that fights Jamal Hill. I think so, man. Give him some time, you know, and then, you know, winner of that, and, you know, have Jamal Hill defend against the winner maybe on, you know, April, maybe April or May card, you know, maybe April.
Well, I know
what it's what you're
looking
like.
It was a tweet that came out this weekend say Anthony Smith is close to announcing a fight. So I think he got a fight coming up. They didn't say who it was, but he has a fight coming up. But let's be honest though, Keys, real quick. That was the first time Blachowicz ever fought a fight that I was like, damn, who is this guy? So maybe styles make fighting those two guys, two styles, made that fight a snoozer. But that's the first time we can say that about Yan, correct?
Yeah, that's the first time. I mean, he always has bang. You know, he always puts out bangers, and so it's not to say that he's a barn dude. No way. I'm not saying it's not like I'm reaching to say that, you know, Jan Blachowicz is a boring fighter. It's not. You know, no way. He's probably one of the least boring fighters in the UFC. It's that, you know, one of the most fun to watch. But it's just that fight. It's just I can't get the bad taste of that fight out of my mouth. Is what I'm trying to say. Like. No homo, you know what I mean? Like, I can't. That fight was only.
Okay. We're doing that in 2023. We're bringing it back. We're bringing it back in 2023. All right,
back,
I got
it. Come on. I couldn't get through it, man. I couldn't get through it. So...
Okay, for real.
So I can't get the bad taste of that fight out of my mouth. That Uncle Ivan Blachowicz, man. I was so disappointed. I was kind of disappointed by that event, period. But I mean, because especially with the next thing I think about with that event is, you know, the biggest robbery ever in UFC history, if you ask me, was that Patty Pimblett and Jared Gordon fight. I've never seen a worse robbery ever. That was terrible. You know what I'm saying? Patty Pimblett got dominated. Like, he wasn't even in the running. You know what I mean? He didn't even get close to a round. You know what I mean? So that event just overall, when I look at the highlights of it, it disappointed me in many ways. And it, you know, that title fight, it's too soon, man. I mean, if they want to have him fight one of those guys, you could do it. But I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, I think it might be a little bit better if, like, you have one of those guys fight one more time, you know what I mean, before they fight him, you know what I mean? Because it's like, you guys fought to a draw. It's like, what is that? Like, how does that warrant that you could fight the champ, you know what I mean? Like, either you guys look like the champion, so why do you get to fight the champion, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think maybe you can, if you want to move it around and, you know what I mean, maybe have, you know, those two guys, you know, fight somebody else, you know, maybe have Johnny Walker fight Blachowicz or, you know, do something like that and kind of mix and match it a little bit. Cause I don't know. Having Jamal Hill fight one of those two out the gate, that definitely doesn't move the needle for me, man. I'll be real with you.
I wouldn't mind a Blachowicz fight only because of his past. I just think Ankalaev just was a, it was just a bad match. I just think those two is just a bad matchup as far as stylistic-wise. I just think that was a fluke for Jan. If the UFC was to do Jan versus Jamal, I wouldn't be mad at that. If they did Jamal versus Johnny, I'd definitely be mad about that because he just knocked him stiff. So I think they have to – I think what they need to do is sit back and wait. See what happens with the Anthony Smith fight. I know he's supposed to be fighting. I don't think nobody else is supposed to be fighting. So depending on who Anthony Smith fight, let's see who he fight. Maybe the top five guy. If it ain't, and he wins, maybe you give him a shot, but I, cause he'll be in the top five because Glover is at number five right now. So you got to say they probably be moving him out. So everybody going to move up one probably. So I wouldn't mind that one. I don't know what's going on with Rockets right now. I think he's injured. So, yeah, man. I think it's going to be the whoever Anthony Smith's fight, man. Whoever he fights. And the winner probably get Jamal Hill in his first title defense. But, look, man, let's talk about this. We did this last time. You know, we talked about what we hated, what we liked, and what we loved about the card. So let's do that again, man. What did you hate about this card?
Well, to be fair, I really didn't get – I got to watch the prelims, and then as far as the main card,
right.
I really didn't get – yeah, I didn't order the fight, and I wasn't watching it anywhere. It was playing at the bar with that, but I wasn't – you know, I really wasn't there. Like, I was watching it from a distance type deal, so I really only got to see, like, bits and pieces as far as the main card. But I would probably say, I mean, I felt like the prelims were fun. You know what I mean? I definitely thought the prelims were fun. One thing I didn't like about the card, one thing I didn't like, man, I didn't like seeing my boy Terrence McKinney get, you know, flatlined, bro. He literally... he got KO'd and, like, he face planted, man. That kind of hurt, you know what I mean, to see that. He really got pieced up pretty bad. I mean, he was losing the fight. He was getting outboxed in the fight. Trying to think of the name of them. But the two brothers there, they both fought in the car. They both won by finishing
Bonfim.
Their fights.
Bonfim.
Yeah, the Bonfim brothers.
Yep.
They're clearly good, you know what I mean? They're clearly tough guys, obviously, and, you know, his brother won by the first round submission later on. I think that might have been on the main prelims card. And, yeah, so that's one thing I definitely didn't like about the card was seeing my boy Terrence McKinney, you know, face plant like that. That's always tough. And, you know, well wishes to him, speaking of, you know, he'll be back. You know what I mean? Definitely, you know, probably want to work on the boxing. I mean, it seems like he ran into a guy that, you know, was you know, where he's at or maybe even a notch or two better, you know, and he seemed outmatched. So I don't know. I'm not going to say, oh, you know, bad weight cutters. I don't know. Like, I just think, you know, maybe he, you know, had some holes to patch up in his game. He didn't really look that good in there on the night. So, yeah, that's one thing I don't really like about the car, but well wishes to Terrence McKinney, man, and I think he'll be back strong. Just has, you know, some things to work on. He'll get back to, you know, go back to the drawing board and, you know, address some things and come back like a beast. So, yeah, that's what I would say. What would be, you know, the first thing on your mind when it comes to what you didn't like about the car?
I'm going to go back to something that me and you talked about on the phone after the car. Lauren Murphy, man. I just don't see what the UFC sees in her, man. Her style isn't a fan-friendly style. She takes too many punches. She doesn't have any defense. I just don't understand what is her game plan and her fights. I mean, yo, as a fighter, you want to take as least punishment as possible. It seems like she goes in there, and her game plan is to take as much punishment as possible. I'm gonna tell you about these stats landed against her. 237 total strikes, 231 significant strikes, 161 strikes to the head, 23 strikes to the body, 47 strikes to the leg, and she was taken down and being controlled for 1 minute and 11 seconds. Basically, she was basically dominated in that whole fight. And they never made any adjustments. I don't even remember her corner even saying, well, let's try this, let's try that. And as far as I understand, after the fight, her husband is her trainer or her head cornerman. Bro. Yo, that's your wife, bro. What you doing? She in there getting hammered every fight. I hated that. I hate her style. I don't think she's a draw. You know, I never want nobody to get fired. I would never call for nobody's job. But I think the UFC need to talk to her, man. Talk to her in her corner. Talk to her and her people. And be like, what's the long term for y'all in this fight game? What do y'all see her in a year? Are we seeing her getting better? Are we looking at switching camps? I just don't like the way she fights, and I definitely don't like the amount of punishment she takes. And man, it's just not fun to watch, man. It's just not fun to watch. So that's the one thing I hated. Now, the one thing I liked, you think I'm off base with Lauren Murphy?
Nah, I don't think you're off base. I mean, she gets beat up in most of her fights, and like, it's just not, you know, I think that kind of thing is, I don't like seeing that, you know what I mean? When it's like, you know, you see a guy like Justin Gaethje was getting beat up so bad in his fights. Like, he had to really, like, his defense really needed a lot of work. And then he went back and, you know, his defense got better. He still gets hit in his fights, but not like the way he used to. Like, I feel like before, you know, Gaethje was just like standing in front of guys. You know what I mean? He wasn't. I feel like now, you know, he's a bit more. I would say he's actually much more. You know, his defense got better, and he's also just more evasive. I feel like he plays it smarter. His boxing, he definitely went back and, you know, worked on his defense. And you know, you just don't like to see that. You know, and you don't like to see guys getting battered in fights. Like, that's just, it's so. It's gruesome to watch, and it's like, if you know, that leads to someone like you saying, where's the corner, you know, making adjustments or saying, okay, you know, maybe we need to switch up the game plan here. You need to take it, you know, it's like, or the husband. It's like, how are you going to watch her? You know, that's your wife. Like, she's literally bloodied. Like, she looks like she's getting battered in there, and it's like, where's the cause for, you know, where's the concern? You know what I mean? Where's the urgency? You know what I'm saying? And it's, we don't really like to, you know, we don't like to see that, you know, people that just, because it's also, you know, it's one thing if like a fighter is in the fight, but like they're getting hit, and like some fights, you know, you're going to see blood, you know, but it's a different thing when a fighter is completely outmatched, and they're just getting outclassed, and they're just getting battered by a fighter. It's like they're completely outmatched, and you're just repeating the same approach, like round after round, you know. And you're leading them back into that. You're basically like pushing them back into that war that they're losing badly. You know what I mean? It's like, what would make you go back in with the same strategy that is not working at all? Like, what would make you do that? You know what I'm saying? And some of these fighters, they have too much heart, man, and it's not worth it. You know what I mean? It's not sustainable. You can't just be like, oh, I'm going to go in there and just get smashed. And, you know, the biggest thing that is saving me is that I have a good chin. It's like, that should not be your game plan, like, to just stand. Like, it's like, you know, Lauren Murphy's going in there, and it's like, okay, you know, we didn't see her get KO'd, but seeing her get KO'd might have been better. It might have been better. Like, if she had gotten KO'd early, that might have been better. Like, you never want, like, as far as health-wise, you never want to get knocked out in your life. You know, like, seeing a fighter gets knocked out, like, that's not a good thing. Like, you know, same thing as being, you know, you don't want to see him get knocked out. You don't want to get choked out. It's like, you know, you're temporarily brain dead. And it's like some dudes get knocked out, and they don't come back from it. You know, like, there's fighters out there that die from getting KO'd, and they die from, you know, it's, so you see boxers, and you know, there's boxers out there, they die in the ring. You know, it's like, you can knock somebody out and kill them. Like that's a very real thing. And so you never want to see someone get knocked out, but it's, you know, it, that part of the entertainment, it is part of the game. But, you know, and in that scenario, it, unfortunately, it might have been better. Am I out of line for saying that? Like, it might have been better, like, for her to just get stopped in, like, the first round, second round. Andrade gets her out of there, maybe even a TKO, so that she doesn't just get
She keeps getting battered and taking so much
for 15 minutes.
Yeah, it limits the punishment.
You're taking 15 minutes
of punishment,
you know?
Yeah, I mean, but I'm going to go back to your boy Terrence McKinney, because in his fight, it was actually an action-packed fight. I mean, I'm looking at the stats, and the stats were actually really, really close. So, unlike Lauren Murphy, these, between Bonfim and McKinney, the stats are good. The stats are actually really, really good. And what led, and, you know, Terrence McKinney got caught with a left hook, I want to say a right hook, knocked out his mouthpiece, but then they got back him against the cage, hit him with the knee, face plant. But he was in the fight the whole time. He just got caught. Well, she just got her ass whooped. I mean, ain't no other way to put it. I mean, she was never in the fight. And like you said, man, I just hate watching that. It's just not a good look. And, you know, man, we're just going to move on, man. What was one of the things you liked about the card this weekend? We're going to get to love. Love is the last.
What was that?
We got liked, and then we're going to get to loved. So what's the one thing you liked about the card this weekend?
Hold on. I just want to look at these prelims, because that's really what I watched. I pretty much watched – I want to say I watched – did I watch the early prelims and the prelims? I watched most of the prelims. I watched up until the main card, and then that's when I was, you know – I was at a bar and I was watching, you know, the fights from a distance, but I wasn't, you know, so that was, let me see this. Preliminary card. I need to remember who I was liking on the, so I'll say one thing that I did like, and I think this is interesting, is Joe Pinal-Mater looked good. Joe Pinal-Mater looked pretty good, man. I would say this, he walked forward. That would be something that I liked. He walked forward. And pretty much in the opening exchange, I forget the dude's name that he fought. That was the number 15 ranked guy. And that fight was actually at heavyweight. Yeah, Abdurahimov. I think Abdurahimov. Yeah, Abdurahimov cracked him in the opening, like literally the first exchange. It wasn't even an exchange. He cracked Almeida. And it was – Almeida looked like he might have even been hurt. So I'll say one thing. Almeida definitely – I don't know if it was – See, one thing I don't know about him is if he's like a natural light heavyweight or if he's a natural heavyweight. But because I know he debuted at 205, but I don't know which one's his natural weight. I don't know if he put on size to move up to heavyweight. Or let me see this. I mean, there's a wicked guy. Okay, so when he was on the – he's another Contender Series guy. When he was on Contender Series, he was fighting at 205 and back-to-back first round submissions up at heavyweight. Okay, so still, I still don't know. So in the Contender Series, he was at 205, and then since then he's fought at heavyweight. And I just don't know if he's naturally a bigger guy or if he's – you know, actually a light heavyweight. I don't really know. Or what division he's going to fight at, or if he's going to do both. I mean,
I'm thinking he can't make 205 no more. I'm thinking that he probably moved up to heavyweight because he can't make 205 anymore and probably tired of the weight cut.
That very well could be it. I'll just say this too. I think that he definitely got to work on his hands. He definitely got to work on the boxing because he got cracked in the first punch thrown. He got cracked, and I want to say to me it looked like he might have been, like, I wouldn't say he was wobbled, but I do think he was hurt by it. You know, like, he didn't evade, he didn't go, but like, I do think it was a note. It was a good shot, and I feel like he, I want to say he didn't really defend it against it. You know, he just got cracked. He just came forward and got cracked. I was like, damn, you know. But obviously, he takes the dude down after that, and you know, then it was his fight from there. So he definitely has the groundwork. You know what I mean? And I think that brings something to the heavyweight division that's going to be difficult to deal with. You know what I mean? But at the same time, another thing that you have to deal with in the heavyweight division is heavy punches. And if you're just going to walk forward and get cracked like that in the first, you know, by the number 15 guy, it's like, how do you deal with all these heavy punches that the heavyweight division has? You know what I mean? You can't, like, I don't know if you'll be able to fight a Cyril Gane or, you know, even a Derek Lewis. It's like, how are you going to fight, like, even Curtis Blaydes? How are you going to fight, you know, most of these guys? You know, Tom Aspinall, how are you going to fight these dudes? It's like, if you just come forward and get cracked in the first thing, and it's, you know, it's like, so I definitely, that's something I like. I like seeing Jelton Almeida look good. I think that'll be an interesting thing for the heavyweight division. I expect that. I haven't looked at the updated rankings. I'm pretty sure they came out yesterday, if not today. I think they usually come out on Tuesdays. They probably came out yesterday. And I wouldn't doubt that he took that number 15 spot after. I'm pretty sure he probably took that number 15 spot at heavyweight. But, yeah, that was something I liked. You know, Jelton Almeida looked good. But he's got to work on his boxing, though. The groundwork is definitely there. I think that's going to be a big problem in the heavyweight division with a guy like that. But, yeah, definitely got to work
on his defense. Yeah,
he's
number 14.
Oh, he's number 14?
He's number 14 ranked, yep.
Okay,
he just moved into the top 15 with that win.
All right. How about you, though?
The one thing I liked about this card is two of the old guys finally decided to hang it up. After thorough beatings, Shogun Hua hung it up, and then Glover Teixeira hung it up. Shogun Hua, man, I just don't understand, Keys. Why the UFC has kept him around so long? This guy has been past his prime for so long. I think his prime ended when he won the belt. Did he win the belt? Nah, he didn't win the belt. Yeah, when he won the belt for Lyoto Machida back in 2010. Because after that, he lost the belt to John Jones. Then he won. And then he proceeded to lose 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Nine out of his next, I want to say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Nine out of his next 17 fights, and in there was a draw also. And in those fights, he was getting knocked out or submitted. Only twice did he lose by decision. Man, he just looked bad to me. Now, on the other hand, Glover Teixeira, I'm going to go back to something you said earlier when we were talking about Lauren Murphy. Some of these guys is too good, too much pride, man, too much heart for their own good. That Glover Teixeira fight should have been stopped in the third, fourth round, man. The way Jamahal Hill had cut him up and those cuts he had over his eyes, and then he didn't see the punches coming. I know that former champions, you know, fighters, they want to go out on their shield. But like we said on this show plenty of times, the corner's job is to protect the fighter. Sometimes you got to protect the fighter from their own self. That fight should have been stopped. When he took Jamahal down in the fifth round, I did get kind of worried. I was like, man, Jamahal might be in trouble if he can't get back to his feet. Because we all know Jamahal ain't got the best wrestling. But he managed to get back to his feet in the fifth round. And then he proceeded to crack him some more. But I like that both these guys hung it up. But, Keys, how many times we done seen guys hang it up and then go do something like join another organization or go join bare knuckle fighting? Nah, Shogun and Glover, hang it up, man. Y'all had good careers. What Shogun, he has, what's this, 41, 42 fights. Yeah, 42 fights in his career. Let me see how many fights Glover got. Glover got 42 fights in his career. That's a lot of fights, man. That's a lot of fights. Hey, y'all made money. Y'all won titles. Now you just go back and get back by opening up a gym or, you know, like Glover said, he's going to be working with Pereira as far as seeing him going forward. He said he wouldn't mind working with Jamal. So I like that Glover is willing to give back to the young guys. I don't know what Shogun who are going to do, but I like that they both hung it up. It was time for Shogun was long overdue, but hey, at least they hung him up. They can go spend time with their family, hopefully let their body heal, let their brain heal. But, hey, thank you both of them guys for being stewards in the sport, and congratulations on their retirement.
Hell yeah, man. I definitely second what you said. I think they should stay retired. You know, Shogun put in a lot of work, man. Glover did too this time, man. And that was the perfect situation, you know what I mean? You know, Glover got to retire in Rio. You know, they get to go out in a way that makes sense, you know what I'm saying? And I think it's the right time. You know, Glover, I'm pretty sure, is, I want to say, 43 or 44 years old now. I'm not sure how old Shogun is. I wouldn't doubt he's in his 40s as well at this point. And, yeah, they both taking a lot of punishment, especially Glover in his last couple fights, especially Shogun. You know, they're getting finished and they're having wars. Like, you know, you gotta cut that off and do what's best for your health at this point. You both made, you know, plenty of money. You know, I mean, you both have become a world champion, you know, in the UFC at one point, and I think that's, you know, that's plenty right there. So, you know, call it a great career, actually, you know, for both of them, and, you know, salute, you know, to both. I think, you know, and enjoy life, you know what I mean? Enjoy life at this point. The fighting, is that's enough, you know what I mean? That's enough for fighting, but just enjoy life now.
Just like you said, they both, you didn't say it, but they both from Brazil, so they both got to retire in their home country. Glover is 43 and Shogun is 41. So, yeah, man, time to hang them up. All right, Key, so what's the one thing you loved about this card?
And I did say that, too. I said that was, you know, that was the perfect – I said that was the perfect ending. I was like, you know, they got to retire in Rio. You know what I mean? I didn't say Brazil, but I just said, you know, they got to retire in Rio. That was the way – you know, that was a good ending for both of them. You know, that was the right way, you know, to go out. You know what I'm saying? And you know, every fight on the card had to have at least one fighter from Brazil. So I thought they did it up. You know, it was cool the way they did that. You know, I always like when they do that. And even when they go to UFC London and, you know, there's at least one fighter in every fight that's from, you know, the UK somewhere. Like, I always think that's an interesting thing. You know what I mean? You get to pretty much, it's like a showcase. You know what I mean? It's like you get to showcase a whole country or a whole, you know, area, a whole region. You know, I think that's sick. You know what I mean? I think that's really cool when they do that. You know, but yeah, so the thing that I loved, and I will say this, the thing that I loved, excuse me, the thing that I loved about this card, and I would be loving it even more if I got to see, if I was watching it closely, and, like, you know, if I had had a fight party, I had someone over to watch it, I think I would be loving it even more. But since I was kind of, you know, since the main card wasn't really my full focus that night, you know, I feel like it's not as much, but I still love it, is that, you know, our boy Brandon Moreno closed the chapter, man. That's what I love about this card. I think that was even, honestly, I think I love that even more than, you know, Jamal Hill winning the belt, man. You know what I'm saying? Jamal Hill, I'm very happy about both situations, you know what I mean? But I love the fact that Brandon Moreno just shut up everybody finally. You know what I'm saying? I love the fact that in my belief that chapter is over, that story is over. Those guys fighting is over, you know, and I think Moreno's the king of flyweight. You know what I'm saying? I think the real champ has surfaced here and has cemented his spot. You know what I mean? And to me, I didn't see the third fight, so it's hard for me to say, and I still haven't watched the third fight to this day. But I watched the first fight. I watched the second fight. And I've seen, you know, the fourth fight in pieces. You know, I saw it from afar, but I still need to go back and watch it or check out, like, a highlight video to get more of it. But technically, I watched three out of the four fights almost. And say this, I haven't seen, you know, to this point, I haven't seen Moreno lose. You know what I mean? I haven't seen him lose any of the fights, you know. There's people on Twitter that say, you know, I saw one guy the other day saying, oh, like Moreno fan, any Moreno fan saying, you know, Moreno 4-0, like of their four fights, you know, Moreno 4-0, or I forget what word he said or what he was going on about. He was saying something, but I'm like, bro, can you blame people for saying that, though? Like, what do you mean? That's crazy. How's that crazy? The first fight, I feel like it was very clear that he won that, which I'm still confused to this day as to how that was a draw. Second fight, obviously, he dominated and destroyed Figueiredo. That's obviously what it was. The third fight, I didn't see. In the fourth fight, from what I hear, people are saying, most people, I have not seen anyone saying Figueiredo was up on the cards. I heard the official cards had Moreno up 2-1 going into the fourth for the dark stoppage. And everyone I see, I didn't see anyone on Twitter saying Figueiredo, they had him up on rounds. Everything I was seeing was 2-1 official. And then, honestly, every take I saw on Twitter was Moreno 3-0 going into the fourth round. I didn't even see anyone saying Figueiredo was winning rounds. And I didn't see anyone saying that Figueiredo was up on their scorecard, on their personal scorecard. So, to me, 3-0, that's without me seeing the third fight, Moreno was at least up 3-0. He's at least up 3-0. So, I don't know, man. I just think Moreno was a much better fighter this whole time. And I just think, you know, the UFC just wanted to drag it out. I think that's what it was. But the real champ is here, though. What you think?
Oh, man. I really want to go the same way you went with, because I was happy that it was over. Because I know we were tired of this marathon between these two guys. But I am going to go with the resurgence of Johnny Walker. I love that Johnny Walker has come back strong. Me and you, when he first bust on the scene, we was like, all right, you know, maybe we got a new talent at 205. And then, you know, he got Corey Anderson dust him up. And then he went on to proceed to lose a couple more fights. And we were like, maybe he was a fluke. And now he has come back. And, man, he looks like a totally different guy there. And he is not taking any prisoners. He is coming in there getting people in and out in the first round. Let me make sure I say this right. Because he had lost to Corey Anderson, then he lost to Nikita Krylov, and then he won by knockout over Ryan Spann. Then he got a decision loss to Thiago Santos. Then he got knocked stiff by Jamal Hill. But these last two fights, man, whew, he subbed Cuta Laba in the first round, and then he just knocked out Paul Craig in the first round. So I like the resurgence of Johnny Walker. Sometimes, you know, I know when we say this, people probably think that we are probably being hypercritical or being hyperbolic at the time. But sometimes when fighters lose, it's okay. It's okay that you got a loss on your record. It makes you go back to the lab and work on things. And it also might force you to go to other camps to get more knowledge, to do more training, to do more in-depth training. And Johnny Walker, man, this guy, man, he like a whole different total guy, man. And I like what I see. And I love what I saw from him on Saturday, because I didn't think there was any way he could beat Paul Craig. I thought Paul Craig would come in there, take him down and submit him for, you know, wrestling for five rounds. And Johnny Walker said, no, we ain't having that. Boom, boom, bow, knocked him out. I love the new Johnny Walker, but I also love that Brandon Moreno and Davidson Figueroa, we don't have to worry about them hooking up no time soon unless Moreno moves up to 135 in some kind of way. You know, they fight at 135, but hopefully we don't get that. But, hey, man, I love Johnny Walker. Great fight. Way to rebound. And he did the worm, Keys. He did the worm. So, yeah, man, I love Johnny Walker's performance.
Hey, man, he did the worm, bro. I watched the video of him doing the worm, man. He makes me nervous. You know what I'm saying? He's about to hit his shoulder. You know what I mean? Something's going to happen. I don't know, man. You're making me nervous, Johnny Walker, doing the worm, man. I got PTSD from it, man, last time you did it. You know, you did it, and then it was like it took you, you know, 2-3 years to, like, fully recoup from that and like, start winning fights again. It took him – he had to, like, really go around the moon, you know, to like, rebuild himself and bounce back, you know, to where he was pretty much at. And, yeah, so who knows, man. Maybe this is the healthy worm, man. Maybe he's not – maybe he's back. I don't know. But – you know, maybe at physical therapy they taught him a way that he could hit the worm without, you know, dislocating the shoulder, man. Because,
oh,
you know,
man,
that last time was treacherous for him, man. He was down bad for a couple of years after the last outing. So just because you're young doesn't mean that, you know, your body can't take you out. You know what I mean? So, hey man, Johnny Walker though, blessings to him, man. He's looking good. He's looking dangerous, looking great. I can't believe he just destroyed, you know, our boy Paul Craig like that, man. I definitely didn't think. And actually, you know what? Speaking of Paul Craig, I'm mad at you, Paul Craig. You ruined my parlay, bro. Come on, bro. You ruined it, man. I can't believe it. I literally did the parlay, bro. I had guys telling me that, like, it wasn't, you know, this and that. And I'm like, first of all, I don't even bet like that. So y'all need to chill out. I don't care. And secondly, is that was a great value parlay to me. That was like a 20-1 situation. I literally, you know, bet $30 with that parlay to win, you know, that would have been, you know, to win $616. Like that would have been a night. That would have been a good night right there. You know what I mean? And
dang, love.
And I literally went, you know, all seven out of eight fighters that I picked won, and Paul Craig losing to Johnny Walker ruined the parlay. And what makes me mad is that he was the underdog. All I had to do was just go with the favorite and pick Johnny Walker. I'm pretty sure Johnny Walker was like a 2-point favorite. I'm pretty sure all I had to do was just pick the favorite, and I would have hit that parlay. But I said, no, I got to go with the underdog, man. I don't know why Paul Craig's the underdog. Y'all are sleeping on him. And then he goes in there and gets KO'd in the first round. You know what I mean? Johnny Walker sent him to the Matrix. You know what I mean? I don't know. I mean, Johnny Walker sent him to the Shadow Realm, bro. I don't know. How you do me like that, Paul Craig? Come on, bro. How you going to go in there and get KO'd in the first round? You know what I mean? What happened? You know what I mean? I'm going to say this, though. I'm going to say this because this is something that I just remembered that I wanted to say it, you know. And it actually – this ties into both fights. It ties into that light heavyweight fight, and it ties into the main event. This is the point that I was thinking about this earlier today at work, and I was like, yo, I want to say this on our show. Because these two fights, and especially the main event, really brought me to this thought, right, was that if you look at that fight, right, because I was actually, you know, kind of going back and forth. I was kind of, like, debating about the fights with one of my coworkers because he watches the fights. And I was like, yo, how about that? You know, Jamal Hill smoked Glover Teixeira, man. He's like, yeah. And he's like, but Jerry's coming for him. I'm like, yo, he's about to smoke Jerry, bro. Tell Samurai Jack to go meditate some more, man. He's going to need a little bit more meditation. But the gods can't save him. You know what I mean? That's what I told my boy at work. And so... My point is this, is that if you look at that fight, because he was saying to me, he was like, I don't know, like, I just think, like, Jerry's a more complete fighter than Jamal Hill. I'm like, yeah, but if you look at that fight we just saw, wouldn't you say Glover Teixeira is a more complete fighter than Jamahal Hill? I think so. I think he is. And I had that thought myself. I was like, damn, I'm rooting for Jamahal Hill, but I predicted him to win. But I was like, I do think Glover Teixeira is the more full mixed martial artist, 100%. I think he's the more complete fighter. You know, he has more weapons, 100%. But I think what that main event showed was that every fight is its own fight. You know what I mean? Every matchup is different. And just because this guy beat this guy doesn't mean that, like, this guy's going to do that the same way to that guy. You know what I mean? It's not going to be – and just because it's, you know, wrestler over striker, like a guy that doesn't have great wrestling, like Jamahal Hill doesn't have great wrestling. Glover Teixeira has, you know, pretty good wrestling, you know, but and he wins in that department. But one thing I also heard about the fight was that Jamahal Hill was stuffing takedowns. I heard – you know, I saw people tweeting that, like, when did Jamahal Hill's takedown defense get this good? And so there's variables that like that that come into play, and it's also the striking. You know, there was a very big disparity in the striking. You know, there was a big gap there, and you know, for some reason, like there was this stat line that someone came up with, and this is what it showed, and I'll read it to you right now, is. Against Glover Teixeira, Jamahal, his Jiří Procházka, right? Against Glover Teixeira, Jiří absorbed 111 significant strikes, and Jiří landed 120 significant strikes on Glover. Glover landed 111 significant strikes against Jiří. Jiří landed 120 against him, so it was pretty close, right? Now, here's the numbers for Jamahal and Glover. Jamahal... Jamahal absorbed 75 significant strikes from Glover. Meanwhile, Jamahal landed 232 significant strikes on Glover. So what does that equal? What it equals is that Jamahal Hill was landing strikes at almost 3-1. He was landing significant strikes at almost a 3-1 ratio. He almost tripled up on Glover. If you triple what Glover landed on him, Jamahal Hill was just shy of it. That would have been 210. Yeah, two. No, actually, he did triple up on him. Yeah, because if you do 75 times 3, that's 210, 215, that's 225. And Jamahal Hill did – okay, so Jamahal Hill was landing at a 3-1 ratio in significant strikes. Jamahal Hill did more than triple up on Glover. He actually was slightly over tripling up on Glover. So how is it that – that happened, you know what I mean? And I don't have the answer. I don't have the answer. What I'm saying is that I don't know how it happens, but what I'm saying is it brings me to my point of every matchup is different. You know what I mean? Unless you're fighting these dudes like a Khabib Nurmagomedov or Islam Makhachev or, you know, one of these dudes that are just like specimens in the sport, you know, and the shit they do, you know, they're Sambo, you know, Sambo champions. The shit they do is so difficult to stop that it's like you can almost predict how their fight's going to, you know, you can almost predict how their fight's going to go, you know, because they're just on that level. But it's like for the majority of the UFC, every fight is its own matchup, man. Really is. Every fight is, and that's my opinion, but every fight is its own matchup. And how could you predict that these numbers would be like that? How would you predict that Jamahal Hill could land 232 significant strikes on Glover, a guy that you would fully expect, looking at the tail of the tape, that Glover would take him down, especially if you watched how Glover fought Anthony Smith. You would say, okay, if Anthony Smith couldn't beat Glover, or if Glover was able to do that to Anthony Smith, because this is a take that I saw on Twitter leading up to the fight, Lee, and listen to this. People said, When they first said that, when it first came out, the news, you know how Anthony Smith was training with Jamahal to prepare for Glover? They were training together, right? So when I first saw that news, I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. I like that. I like when guys, because they were supposed to fight each other. Instead, they end up training together to, you know, Anthony Smith didn't get bitter and was like, oh, they didn't give me the fight. He was like, no, I'm going to help him train for him. I respected that. You know, I thought that was dope. So then, but a take that I saw was, it was you know, a lot of people were saying, like, what can, like, really, they're training together, like, what do you think Anthony Smith can, like, what can Anthony Smith teach Jamal Hill about how to beat Glover? Like, did Jamal forget that, you know, Glover was Anthony's, he was his dentist in the fight, you know, referencing how he was, like, Anthony Smith's teeth were falling out. You know, they were saying, like, oh, did Anthony Smith forget that, you know, Glover made him his dentist, you know? And, but see, this is the point, is that you couldn't just predict it that way. Like, that's why I'm saying, like, this fight really showed that, like, every matchup is its own matchup. It doesn't matter. Like, it's Anthony Smith, okay, lost to Glover. But then Anthony Smith goes and trains with Jamal Hill, and Jamal Hill destroys Glover. How is that possible? You know what I mean? How is that possible? Like, Anthony Smith is able. So Anthony Smith training with Jamal Hill clearly was helpful. I mean, and you could say maybe it had nothing to do with it, and Jamal Hill was just better. But clearly them training together, like, had some part, you know what I mean? So somehow Anthony Smith is able to – so it's not – the MMA math doesn't work. You know, that's what I'm trying to say. The MMA math does not work. It wouldn't have made sense for Anthony Smith to be able to help Jamal Hill beat Glover if MMA math worked. You know what I'm saying? It wouldn't be possible. And Jamal just destroyed Glover. And the numbers work. And how did Jerry struggle? And you know what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, man, because when I was watching that fight, it was one thing that was noticeable from the first round. Jamal Hill punches, they were snapping. I mean, every time he would hit Glover, even with a jab, he was snapping that head back. And sometimes when some guys throw jabs, you know, they throw a jab, you know, just to be throwing it, and, you know, it might catch the fighter's attention. But normally when a fighter throw a jab, basically they're using a jab to set up something. But Jamal Hill jab is just different. Man, he was tagging Glover with that jab. And then he was following it up. He was following it up with combinations. And then once he got that cut over his right eye, Glover couldn't see the left leg kick coming. It was like, man. But I love the way you broke it down, because all fights aren't the same. All fights don't go the same. And the opponents, sometimes, let's say Anthony Smith, for example. Anthony Smith probably, I ain't gonna say probably, we both saw the fight. His punches weren't affecting Glover like our boy Jamal Hill punches were. So I like the fact that them two got together and trained together. It probably did make a difference in the fight, because I noticed that Jamal Hill's takedown defense in the early rounds were pretty good, although he did get taken down in the fifth round, but he managed to get out of it. So, you know, training with Anthony probably did help him in that aspect, but hey, man, the fight game is just so different, man. It's just, but you never know what you're going to get from one fight to the next. You don't know whether or not, you know, and I'll use my boy John Jones. John Jones was dominating. And then he decided he wanted to try to beat guys in their own game. Who the hell does that? Nobody does that. You're supposed to go in there, do what you do, and you know, win the fight. Don't go in there and try to kickbox with a kickboxer. I'm going to try to strike with a striker. I mean, come on, man. But, hey, we talked about a lot of stuff tonight. It was some stuff that I want to talk about that we didn't get to. We'll get to it next week. You got any last words for the people, bro?
Nah, nothing. I just thank y'all for listening. Yeah, well, definitely, I want to go deeper into that that point I was just making, because now I'm even having more thoughts about it. So next week, you know, if we got the time, we'll get more into that. And that'll be an ongoing
show.
Yeah. That'll be dope. And so you know, maybe next week. And yeah, just thank y'all for listening. And you know, every fight is its own fight. You know, it's the MMA map don't always, you know, it's, there's no way, like, and this is the last thing I'm going to even say, is that there's no way that you would think, like, obviously guys can learn skills, but it's crazy to think that Jamahal Hill lost in the way he did to Paul Craig. Like, it really wasn't even, like, Paul Craig got him out of there pretty quickly, you know what I'm saying? He took him down and got him out of there quickly. But Jamahal Hill was able to survive on the ground with Glover Teixeira, and then had takedown defense and just smashed him to pieces. You would not think that the same guy who lost, you know, pretty easily to Paul Craig would destroy Glover Teixeira. You know what I'm saying? It's just, it wouldn't. So that's what I would just leave it with. But shout out Jamahal Hill, and thank y'all for listening. That's all I got. The floor is yours, bro.
Yeah, man. Great performance by Jamahal Hill. Congratulations on being the new light heavyweight champion. Congratulations to Brandon Moreno on being the undisputed flyweight champion. You know, looking to see great things from them down the road. Brandon Moreno's next opponent has already been announced. He's going to be fighting Pantoja, which is a good fight. You know, somebody me and Key said was deserving of a title shot. So we get to see him go up against Brandon Moreno. But thanks, everybody, for listening. You know, take care of yourself. Take care of each other. And that being said, we're always in the show with a peace.